Hello and welcome back to Couch Surfing with Koi, the traveling podcast where the guests are whoever lets me sleep on their couch. And in today's episode, I'm in Greenville, North Carolina, and I'm sleeping on the couch of Grayson Wood, aka Purple. Me and Grayson were both invited to move here just a few years ago by our friend Carl Jacobs, and we've gotten to share the unique and unreal experience of living next to Mr. Beast without actually having to work for him. Grayson is a Minecraft YouTuber who briefly dabbled in IRL content. And during my time living here, we've shared countless conversations about the internet and content and creativity. So I'm really excited to finally be able to share one of those conversations with you. And to monetize it, of course. In this episode, we talk about the evolution of Grayson's Minecraft content, from Bed Wars to the Dream SMP to that time he quit altogether. We also dive into how being a part of the Mr. Beast ecosystem has affected our creative processes. We talk about the uncertainty of our 20s and also a bunch of other stuff that you'll hear as soon as I'm done talking and the intro music plays, which should be any second now. Did it start yet? Everything's good. Everything's set up. Everything's rolling.
Looks good to me.
Oh, he's not good.
Oh, yeah. Fix him.
We need to make sure he's good at all times.
And then also just make sure that you speak into the mic.
Okay.
Is the other thing. Because this is what records. Basically, if you've never seen this before, it's a microphone, and then you talk into it and
okay.
can record it,
okay.
pick up kind of the things that you're saying, and then transfer them down
Hello?
Into the data.
Hello?
Yeah, it's not, got it's not, you. That
oh,
was good.
Okay. It wasn't saying anything back, so I didn't know.
You thought it doesn't speak back to you.
Well, it could. I don't know. Maybe there's a little guy. When I was a kid, I used to think the radio, I felt bad if I changed the radio channel because I thought they were performing for me live right then. I didn't want to like leave them behind.
I used to think that the little like electrical boxes were the ones, like I thought that there was a little guy in there that would control the stoplights.
What electrical boxes are you?
Like the big like gray boxes, you know? It's like used as base during tag usually.
Oh.
Maybe you're in the neighborhood. Okay, see,
yeah.
We got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that because I was like, how else are they controlling the stoplights and making sure that everyone's okay? And so I figured, of course, it has to be a little man inside of the electrical.
They only hire like really tiny guys.
Yeah.
Well, what I think
I was 15.
Oh. I the only thing about stoplights, I remember, I don't know who told me this, and I don't want to guess because I feel bad throwing one on their bus. But I think one day I asked them how stoplights worked, and they said that God did it. And I was like, I was thinking in my head, I'm like, so we just invented this on a whim, like hoping God would like figure it out. We're like, okay, so red, green, yellow. Now, God, when someone wants to turn, make sure it's around the green arrow.
He's like,
them.
Dude, I'm so busy. You
yeah.
guys just made Bluetooth. Like,
yeah.
I can't do it all.
Like, yeah, it's like all the rules. They're like, hey, remember, they are allowed to go right on the red, though.
How do you feel about left turn yield on yellow flashing arrow?
Oh, I think they left that one up to God. Like,
yeah.
And then that's not for us to decide.
I feel a connection to God every time I make an unprotected left turn.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this city is all about, basically.
Yeah, that is true.
The amount of times I have to take a left turn, like sitting there for like minutes, just hoping there's like an opening. And then when there is an opening, I just like foot on the gas and like get out of there.
This is our city. We run
yeah.
this. We run this B. Did that sound cool?
No. We can probably retake that.
Okay, and say the word this time?
No.
What do I say?
You got to figure it out on the fly. This is our city.
And we run this ish.
I think that was worse.
Yeah, okay. We'll just keep both of them.
Okay.
Just
yeah,
they'll probably add up to something good.
Oh, wait. B and then
ish. We edit those together
what?
And then we got something good. So you moved to this city like a few months after I did. I did it first. But what you lived in Virginia before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that move like? Like why, how did you end up in Beastland?
So I was born and raised in like small town, Virginia, not super small.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't like a like small country town, but it was like, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 people, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I lived my whole life. And then when I was starting to like grow on YouTube, I met Wally Bear.
Right.
And it just so happened that he lived like an hour and a half away from me.
Oh, wow.
So then as both of our channels grew and then I was getting ready to graduate from high school, we were just like, yo, we could probably move in together. So we moved together in Virginia for like a year, but a couple months after moving, we were at this Twitch Partner Summit in Brooklyn. Me and Wally just went, not really knowing anything about it, but turns out like Carl, Quackity, Tina, like a couple people we knew were there. We didn't know any of them super close at the time, but just while we were there, Wally and I just like clicked with Carl, and it's kind of funny, like immediately he was like, yeah, I should move to Greenville. I was like, well, we just got a house a month and a half ago, so maybe not. But then it kind of just stayed on the back of our minds, and like as time went on, you know, it was cool living with just us two, but there wasn't really like, again, small town Virginia, there wasn't like a ton going on there. We didn't have like a ton of like friends that were content minded, so it was just kind of, we were all in our own little bubble of just us two. So then after like a year of living there, we decided to move down here.
And especially like once you saw that I moved here, probably kind of encouraged.
Yeah, that's
you
what really accelerated it.
Yeah.
I remember when I was here looking for a house, I think it was just me. I think like I was just sending pictures and stuff to Wally, and he took my word for it. But I crashed at your house for like 10 days.
Yeah.
Because I was also like...
You were also filming a video.
I was also filming a video.
And with Mr. Beast. And can we bleep Jimmy. That?
Oh, with...
You can say Jimmy.
With Jimmy.
I think legally we're allowed to say that. Okay, good. Yeah, not...
Yeah, it was tough. It was when I was doing my little... My Grayson Wood IRL channel.
Yeah. You needed like an interview with Jimmy, with Mr. Beast. And it was like... It kept getting pushed forward and forward and forward, or back and back. What would you consider that? Because I still don't know the language that's appropriate.
I think
for that.
Pushing it back.
Pushing it back.
Because I think forward, like in my mind, it's like, oh, we had to move this forward an
forward
hour.
Is like closer in time.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But in my mind, I'm thinking of like a timeline. When you go forward on a timeline, you go further into the future.
Yeah, that's
fair. And so
fair.
I always get so confused about that.
I think forward is it's sooner, and then back is further.
Okay, so the interview with Mr. Beast was getting pushed back and back and back, and so you were just still sleeping on my couch. Oh, yes. How the tables have turned.
Yeah, oh, wait.
Yeah, you live like 10 minutes from me, and I still slept on your couch.
Yeah, I was like... I guess I'm not surprised because, like, you know, it would be like, why would you call it couch surfing, blah, 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 if you're not going to sleep on my couch?
Surprised that I have like integrity and principles and morals that I stick by?
Yeah. That's surprising to me.
Yeah. That's the only one, is that I sleep at other people's houses.
Yeah.
And everything else is just kind of lawless.
Kind of falls through.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I just need like a 10-minute interview with him. And it was just like a mess of communication and stuff. And I just kept getting pushed. Like, I was originally there. I was going to, like, spend the night at your place. The next day would be the interview or something like that. Then I'd go back, like, the third day. But then I was like, okay, let me push it. We have to push it 2 days. And then they had to push it 3 more days. And eventually I was talking to Carl. I'm like, yo, like, I've been here for, like, over a week doing nothing. And then they got to happen, which was cool. So that worked out. That was well. It was fun. It was fun to live. Like, that was my first experience, like, being in Greenville, like, living here. But then there, I think it was that visit that we found what house we wanted to be in, and then soon after, like a month or two later, we moved here, and we've been here since April 2023.
Yeah, that's 2023. Right. Time moves weirdly here. Greenville is like it's like this. I don't even know how to describe it, because it's like in the middle of nowhere. There's like there's like not really like a bigger town around it except for like an hour and a half away. But also Mr. Beast just exists here. And nothing else really does. Did you get like an initial like culture shock to living here when you first moved? Cause I absolutely did.
In a sense, partially just because even though Greenville isn't a big city by any means, it's just bigger. There's more going on than where I've ever lived. So, like, by default, it was already just a little more going on. And then, yeah, just, like, it is weird where it's just kind of a normal little college town. And then there's also just, like, a big old company that's, like, rapidly growing every year doing new things.
And you have to win a hand-to-hand combat battle in order to stay here when you first get here. So that's kind of a shock,
And every
too.
Year you have to renew it as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When they put you in the big Coliseum and Jimmy's kind of up in his tower
they don't,
watching
you. They usually don't film with the Beast Coliseum, but it is here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, that's not... that's not for filming. That's just for just for entertainment.
Yeah, that's for the love of the game.
Yeah. And yeah, you've lived here for almost two years now.
Yeah, closing on 2 years.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. For me, what I've noticed is what you're saying about like time moves weirdly here. I just noticed, especially since graduating high school, like time just doesn't move like consistently at all. Cause like we're both kind of glorified unemployed people.
Right.
And with like no college degree and we're just kind of like sitting around and like, it's just weird. Cause basically it just makes me never know what day of the week it is or what date it is. Sometimes I forget what month it is.
Right.
Like the only thing I'm tied to is just when VidCon is, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like when like the trips of the year are, I guess.
Yeah.
And then beyond that.
It's a hard transition because when you're in school, not only do you have like a whole schedule laid out for you by other people that are like in these positions of power, but you also have the year. You can see what your life is going to look like in a year. Oh my gosh. And now I'm getting flashbacks to like middle school when they were like, they won't tolerate this behavior in high school. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They made high school seem like.
Yeah. And then it also so continued evil. To college, but I don't have the experience to know if that was true or not.
Yeah. Well, also like high school was so much more laid back than any other school environment that I had ever been in. Like in my opinion.
Yeah. It was way like, I understand they were trying to make sure we weren't like super goofing off and we had like some level of discipline, but at the same time, there is just a level of like, do what you need to do, have some respect for like the teachers and stuff. Like they'll let you do anything. Cause like if you just treat them like real people.
Yeah.
Like literally, like I made friends with like multiple of my high school teachers.
Me too.
Were just like, you know, like if you just view them as nothing but like, oh, that's my teacher that I hate because they give me homework and stuff, then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You're setting yourself up to like not enjoy it. But do you like him?
I do like him. What's his name again?
This is Fuecoco. This is my favorite Pokemon. I have multiple things of him over there. Can you actually grab that guy real quick?
Yeah. You have like a shrine going on over
yeah,
here.
Yeah. And there's also a sticker on my computer, but you can't see it because it's on my computer. But this is like a little, I got it in New York City a couple weeks ago. It's just like a little, it's not Lego. It's like whatever the Japanese Lego is, but Nintendo has partnered with them and he's awesome. So I don't want him to break though. So you're going to have to put him
back. Yeah. Thanks for it.
But he sits with me right here. So that'll work.
Yeah,
but yeah, like it is weird. Cause I noticed immediately after graduating high school, the complete lack of structure or like certainty about anything in the future is, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to sit here and, like demand pity because I'm a full-time content creator. Like, of course, it's great.
Will.
Oh, okay. Well, I think, well, okay, so everyone pity him.
Yep.
But then for me, no, actually, you can pity me,
don't
too.
Pity me. Just, like, talk about how strong I am.
Oh, yeah. Like, how strong you are for, like, how it's harder than a 9-to-5.
Yes.
And how you're putting your life on the line. Like, it's just, well, I'll never understand.
I'm basically, like, a doctor and a lawyer at once.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I'm kind of like if a doctor had a baby.
They're allowed to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, who's supposed to do it then? Like, who's supposed to get it out of them? Because they're a doctor. So if they're...
Who delivers the mail to the mailman?
Wow. Probably the doctor.
Yeah, they like take turns. They kind of swap it out.
Or the doctor's baby.
Oh, yeah. They get it. They put them to work.
Yeah.
Or maybe her.
The stork.
Oh.
The stork delivers the mail to the... Right. So what kind of person were you in high school? Like, or just in school in general?
I will say, as time has gone on through streaming and stuff, I think I've definitely built up confidence. But I was... I wouldn't say I was, like, super shy or super, like... I don't know. I wasn't a little quiet kid, but I definitely was not very confident or outgoing or charismatic at all. I just kind of kept to myself and played games all day.
What got you into streaming? Because you were originally, I mean, like your blow up was kind of during the like Bed Wars era, which if people aren't aware of Bed Wars, do you mind defining that?
Yeah, I do.
To them? Do you mind?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead and use this. We're going to give you about 20 seconds to go ahead and do your own research about what Bed Wars is.
The 10 is probably good.
Yeah. Well, a few of them are on their phones.
Yeah.
So, in their calculator sleeves.
Hey, wake up.
Do we need to do the phone jail?
Hey. Eyes on 1, 2, 3, eyes on me.
1, 2, 3, eyes on me.
No, me.
Us. 1, 2, 1, 2, sus.
1, 2, sus, eyes on us.
That's gonna catch on in schools nationwide.
Yeah, I think we're gonna hear that around.
Yeah, probably. And also when the kids hear the word, when the kids hear a word so hip and down to
they're
down
gonna,
to the gym,
they know we're cool. Like, yep. And they think we're. That's why whenever I, well, that's why whenever I say someone younger than me, I say, "What's up, Skibbity?"
That's got to be a crime.
Why didn't you like that one?
I did. I laughed.
Yeah, but I feel like...
You were serious about it?
Yeah.
In 12 states, that should be a crime.
Oh, okay.
At least 12, and then we'll work on passing bills otherwise.
I could argue 14.
Okay, I'll take 14.
Yeah.
So, Bed Wars is this game where you're on a bunch of different islands in Minecraft on a server where you have to protect your bed, and if your bed gets destroyed, then you can't respawn, and you're trying to all fight each other on these different islands.
You're doing too much right now. Here, I got it. Watch this.
Yeah.
Because you just got to simplify it.
Yeah, this is your job.
Because they don't care.
Okay, sorry.
There was this Minecraft minigame named Bed Wars that I played a lot of, and I was pretty good at it. And then in eighth grade, I came
So there are like a bunch of different islands.
No.
And then you have to try to protect
your bed. So there's diamonds and there's emeralds. And
you want to get as many diamonds as you can to power up. And there's different power-ups.
Your sharpness and protection.
So protection. There's also traps. Don't forget about the
traps. Yeah, traps are really good.
And at the end, you could get to dragons, but we'll get to that a bit later.
Yeah. We'll probably get that to episode 2. Maybe.
Episode. Yeah. We're starting a podcast together.
Yeah. It's our own one.
Bed Wars Recap Podcast.
Where we just explain in-depth mechanics. So today we're going to talk about diamonds.
That's so good. Had the Bed Wars era lasted 3 months longer than it did, that would exist right now.
Yeah, probably. The Bed Wars era was like, I'm actually surprised it lasted as long as it did, because the game itself, I mean, in a sense, it is pretty repetitive. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to like, I don't know, to keep it interesting and stuff.
Yeah, because there's kind of like, you have beds on a bunch of different islands and you're trying to protect them.
There's
and then
diamonds.
There's diamonds and then there's emeralds. And then at the end, there can be dragons.
There can be dragons.
Yeah.
Sharpness.
So you blew up from playing this mini game, right?
Yeah. So I just came across a random person in a game one day, and he said he was like a little streamer. I wouldn't say I was necessarily toxic back then, but like I definitely, basically we were talking some during this game, and if I lost, I don't think I ever would have checked out his channel, but because I beat him, I ended up checking out his channel and becoming friends with him. And then he was just like a small streamer, like maybe 100, 200 subs and then like 5-10 viewers. But like, then I was like, you know what? I'll try it. So then I streamed a couple times and I made a couple of videos and like very just slowly grew from there. Just consistent, like Bed Wars videos were pretty easy to make. You just play a couple games of Bed Wars with some topic. A really common one was like a commentary, just, you know, playing the game while talking about whatever thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you do like commentary videos?
Like commentary as in just like talking about like life stories and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so interesting. Did that sound sarcastic?
It sounded sarcastic.
Can we do another take?
Yeah. Okay.
What?
Okay. Yeah. So, and for me, it just worked pretty well because I think I was a good mix of like being pretty good at the game, but also entertaining enough, because there are definitely people more entertaining than me, definitely people better at the game than me, but there weren't a ton of people that were like at least like a 7 out of 10 on both.
Right.
So it just worked out because, you know, I see comments on the commentary videos like, oh, it's so crazy you can play Bed Wars and like win these games while also talking so fluidly, because I had played at a point I was number 2 in the world in solo wins, and like, so at that point, I mean, at this point in time, I've played over like 10,000, 12,000 games of Bed Wars.
Wow.
All of those were years ago. I played maybe 100 in the last like 2 years, but yeah, I mean, it was just, I played it so much I could just play the game with my eyes closed. So I just talked about it, kept growing. And it worked out. It worked out. I kept growing and then the Dream SMP happened. So
yeah. What? That's kind of my whole question.
What?
Yeah, about the Dream SMP.
So,
well, when was that in like the grand scheme of your career? Like, how long had you been doing your own solo content before you got added to the Dream SMP?
Like, I'd say a good 2.5 years, maybe. And at this point, I was at, I want to say, at least 200, maybe 300,000 subscribers. So I was pretty established for myself for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, pretty early in the server, I got invited and I was just in it. I was still, because for as much as like when I'm on my own, like playing a competitive game, I like people know me, like talk trash to my opponents that can't hear me and like whatever, whatever. But definitely in that server, especially because I didn't really know anyone, I didn't really interact with anyone at all. Like, everyone's out here doing these crazy big streams. I just did not have the confidence to, like, walk up to someone else on their stream.
Right.
And, like, do a bit or something. Like, I did not have that ability.
It's so a very different way of playing the game than you were playing.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I was not used to that. So I mostly just stuck to myself, kind of did my own thing. And, yeah, that's basically what I did the entire time. The only time I ever, like, got more involved was towards the tail end with, like, Las Novadas with, like, Quackity, Foolish, Charlie Slimesicle. Mm-hmm. But other than that, no, I just kind of did my own thing. And that is one of my, like, I guess regrets is that, like, I wish I had a little more confidence in, because I feel like, sure, it would have been good for my career, but more, I just think it would be really fun, you know, just because, like, there, especially the early stages of it where it was just, like, doing bits with your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
The later parts where it's, like, you know, a full character and, like, full role play, like, that I don't really care as much about. But, like, the first, like, couple months where it was just that, I think I would have had a ton of fun in that. I just... You know, I was like 16 and not have the confidence.
Yeah.
I'm no Tommy in it. That guy was, he had the confidence of, I don't even know what, but he was, he could do anything. Dude.
He had the confidence of a child who didn't know any better, but yeah, to be confident.
No, and it worked out so well for him. Yeah, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, after that ended, I don't even know when the server ended, like, technically, but
it was messy.
It was messy.
It, like, ended, like, six different times.
And it, like, faded out slowly. They tried to make, like, a little dramatic ending, but it just didn't really work. That's, yeah.
They are working. Stay tuned, though, because they are working on Dream SMP 2.
Yeah.
That is
good. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Because, well, 2025 is, like, basically 2020. I don't know if you've noticed that so far, but we're, like, a few weeks in, and, like, we're basically back.
I haven't found the correlation yet.
Well, people are already doing the thing where they're, like, posting, like, propaganda on TikTok right now. That's like it's, like, really, like, fear-mongery, like, well, okay. Basically, there was also this thing where people thought that they were gonna get killed by the government. Like, TikTokers thought that they were gonna get killed by the government and that it was gonna be staged as a suicide on TikTok for speaking out. Like, white creators were like, if I speak out on BLM, the government's gonna kill me and stage it as a suicide. Okay. So then they'd be posting videos being like, PSA, I am not suicidal.
Yeah.
And so that, if do you know this?
I've heard of, like, maybe, I don't know about that exact example, but I have seen people like someone will make a video about anything, like, slightly controversial, then the comments were like, reminder everyone, this person is not suicidal.
Yeah,
this person's not.
That happened to me on the episode of this podcast where I posted about, I was talking about all the stuff with, like, Mr. Beast, just kind of spilling it all. And, like, there's a comment on there with, like, 300 likes that's like, friendly PSA, Koi is not suicidal. You have no idea what I am and what
yeah,
I'm not.
How are you supposed to know? What if he does kill himself?
Yeah, right? And so the reason that I know about this thing happening in 2020 is because of that comment. I asked one of my friends and they were like, they're doing that thing that people used to do in 2020 where they think that Mr. Beast is going to kill me and then stage it as a suicide.
Probably.
So much so that they needed to comment on my post and let everyone know that I'm not suicidal.
Yeah, like, I think there's a lot of it's tough because, and this is a slight sidetrack, but, like, I do understand, like, of course, activism and wanting to be involved and wanting to, like, do something bigger than just being a teenager. But there's a level of people where they're taking it a little too seriously and they think, like, everything's out to get them. And they
yeah.
think, like,
and it's it gets fueled by, like, older generations as well. And then there's just, like, fear mongering to kids.
Yeah.
And then these kids are like, These are the six things that you need to know before the government kills you, because they're on their
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of pessimism as well. Like, don't get me wrong, I understand. Like,
oh, I'm there though.
I'm not looking forward to the next 4 years.
Yeah, I was about to say I'm talking about this as if I'm not scared or pessimistic.
Yeah.
I am definitely both of those things, which is why I'm complaining about it.
I think I try to look on the brighter side when I can. I have no idea what's gonna happen the next 4 years. Hopefully, nothing crazy evil, but. Yeah, I mean...
Too late. Sorry.
Yeah. Like, there's a level of, like, people that are making plans for, like, the world ending. I'm like, okay, let's maybe calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think... For me, I think my stance on pessimism is, of course, like, it's not correct to just always assume the good things are going to happen, because that's also just not how the world works. But also, I think there is a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy if you fill your mind with more negativity than what's happening, then you're just gonna feel more negativity and stuff. So I try to be positive when I can.
Yeah, and especially, well, I think, like, a big thing is, like, a lot of, like hope is a very important tool exactly. to combat the like current climate that we're living in.
Yeah.
And if we're just like scaring everyone all the time and being so doomsday, which I know it's so hard not to.
Yeah.
But if you're not like holding on to hope or like seeing where things could be better than it like.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I guess, not the best example of it because, you know, this presidency is that is something that has the highest chance of affecting like the world or the country on a bigger scale. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess I'm referring to more just other cases where something will happen that definitely is bad, but then people will make it out to be, you know, everything has gone wrong. The world will never be the same. Like, I think you just got to take things how they are sometimes and like just try to put on a smile and keep moving forward when you can.
Yeah, especially like the Dream S&P is probably going to come back this year too. So yeah, we so have things we to look forward to.
Yeah.
Like, we're not focusing on the right things here, you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you think about it, the last time there was a U.S. presidential election was, like, right when the Dream S&P was, like, at its peak.
Yeah.
So, like, they were, like, waiting.
Yeah. I think we need to go back to Zoom and not seeing each other.
Yeah, we should go back to me waking up to, and then, like, putting my laptop on my bed, joining the class Zoom call, and then falling back asleep. And then, like, an hour later, my teacher's like, Grayson, hey, Grayson, you have any questions? And I'm like, sorry. And then they can tell I just woke back up.
Yeah, and then being like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't get in time. Zoom was having so many problems.
But they could believe it, too.
I missed, yeah, because they...
Because they were at times. I heard about it on the news.
Yeah, and teachers also are, like, big technology haters.
Yeah, and, like, there'll be a teacher that calls the IT guy, and like, my computer's saying it needs to restart? What does that mean?
Okay, I just thought of when I was in my 8th grade Spanish class, there was this teacher that was just... She was really trying her best, but it wasn't good enough for 8th graders, of course. Nothing's good enough for 8th graders. We just want to hate and hate and hate. She had a projector where she would play a bunch of really loud songs, and no one really liked them. Like, it was always, like, first thing in the morning, 8 a.m., like, loud, like, buenos dias, good morning, everyone, we're here in class. It's as loud as possible. And she would be, like, dancing. She was, like, a cheerleader at Harvard. Which was, like, so...
I didn't know those existed.
Crazy lore drop, yeah. But she'd be, like, dancing in the front of the classroom. Anyway, her projector kept turning off all the time. Like, it would just, like, randomly turn off, and she'd be like, I don't know, like, the bulb, like, something is wrong with the bulb. Come to find out, one of the students had found out the projector brand and ordered a remote of her projector.
Wow.
And anytime that she'd turn it on, he'd just turn it off in the back of the class. And everyone in the class knew about it. No one told her about it to the point where she called the IT guy to come. Like, she was like, technology. Me and technology just don't get along. How do I get these things working? This IT guy came in and replaced the bulb, which is, like, not cheap at all. Like, completely replaced the projector just because this kid was turning off the remote.
That's, like, awful.
Yeah, it's, like, really mean.
That just also reminds me because I had my 8th grade Spanish teacher was also, like, very, like, a little weird, but in, like, to me, in, like, a fun way.
Yeah.
And, like, I liked her, but a lot of people just thought she was weird and annoying and stuff. So it's, like, I felt so bad for her when people would be, like, messing with her a little bit. And I'm, like, she's just, like, a sweet lady, you know? And I
was guilty of messing with her once. I did something.
God damn it. Can I swear? Yeah. God damn it.
Messing with your Spanish teacher.
Oh.
Yeah, I made her life miserable.
Was that you?
Spikes.
I remember there was a... What?
I put spikes everywhere in her house.
Okay.
Did she ever come into class early in the morning and be like, picking out spikes?
Yeah. The spikes again. I'm imagining like her, like a trapdoor opening to just like giant stalactites, stalagmites, whichever the bottom ones are.
Stalactites.
What?
Stalactites.
Wait, can you say it a little clearer?
Stalactites.
I don't think that's.
So my Spanish teacher, yeah. I sat on the windowsill in this class.
Okay.
Because like gay people can never sit like a normal person.
I've noticed.
Yeah. And I had my little laptop and people would always be doing yard work outside. And she hated the yard work to the point where if they were doing yard work while she was teaching, we would get to do independent work.
She just didn't. She just did not even try.
No, because it would like really distract her, really irritate her. Like starting, we would get to do like independent work that was like for her class, but right. still it was better than her yelling at us and having to do like call and response and like speak out loud and stuff. You know, in a class where you're learning language. But regardless,
how dare they?
I was sitting up on the windowsill, and I noticed that like that's the window was right where the. The lawn mowing would come from. Uh-huh. So I would just, if I didn't want to do like spoken work, I would just look up lawnmower sounds and play them out of my MacBook.
And they didn't notice?
She'd be like, it's a Wednesday and they're doing work. I thought they only did work on Mondays. I'm sending an email.
Do you think? She was confused when they said, hey, we didn't actually have any work.
No, she couldn't focus on anything because of all the spikes.
Oh, right.
Because well, I was also putting spikes.
I thought that was my teacher.
Both.
Oh. Of course. I remember my teacher. I think we were watching, like, some movie, like Ratatouille or something.
Oh, sorry. Before we move on, sorry. I'm so sorry for my teacher for playing mowing.
And the spikes.
Yes. And, yeah. I don't feel as bad about the spikes. Ratatouille. You were watching Ratatouille.
Yeah, like just like it was like one of those days where I just put on a movie and like we're doing independent work kind of. Is there a part in Ratatouille where like there's a gun that they shoot? Like
I don't think so.
I thought maybe, it was Ratatouille.
Maybe there
like,
is.
Like it's they, been when, a while they, when they saw a rat struggling around, they try to like shoot him or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes. I think okay, sounds right.
Cause I just remember she would be like, oh, and I always gotta make sure to like turn she was like scared. She's like, I have to turn it like the volume down before this happens every time I play this movie.
Oh my gosh.
But not for her own reason, because she's like, I don't want other people around the school to think that there's like a shooting happening.
Right.
But I'm like, I don't think they would think, because like it doesn't. It's just like a very cartoonish like shotgun blast noise.
Yeah.
Coming
yeah.
from. I don't know.
Actually, sleeping on your couch last night, something fell over and made a loud, high pitched like boom, and I like thought that there was a gunshot.
Where like, I woke do you know? Up, wait,
like,
where was it?
I woke up like scared. I don't know. I still don't know what happened. For all I know. You were shooting.
Oh, that yeah, that was it. Oh, okay. I was in my room shooting again.
Right. I love
forgot
this.
To tell you about
I
that.
I love North Carolina.
I also, you know, I also make sure I do it after my guests have fallen asleep as well in the room.
A
2 right
a.m. shoot.
Yeah, yeah, a little 2 a.m. shoot.
Yeah,
happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Oh, I want to get into your transition out of
yeah.
Minecraft content.
Yeah, and then back in
and
eventually.
Then back in, yeah. Spoil.
Sorry.
Okay.
Cut that.
That's all right. Yeah, you were doing IRL content for a bit. You
yeah.
went from Purple to Grayson Wood.
Yeah.
What was that about? What inspired you to like get out of Minecraft content?
Yeah, actually, I have a good amount of talk about this because I think as time goes on, I have more and more to reflect about because
absolutely.
I've learned more about both myself and YouTube and like what I want. So basically, like I was saying earlier, Bed Wars is just a very repetitive game. And simultaneously, when, like, Minecraft and the growth in Minecraft and the growth in Bed Wars is slowing down, I was also just, like, I was thinking there's literally nothing left to do.
Right.
I just wasn't getting a lot of enjoyment out of it either.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, if both of those things are happening, then I'm like, why am I still doing this? So,
and Bed Wars, stop me if I'm wrong, is, like, the game where there are a bunch of islands,
yeah.
and then there's a bed, and then there's kind of, like,
diamonds
and emeralds.
And emeralds. And eventually... Dragons.
Dragons. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah. So, I still looking back, don't know if I think the decision I made and the way I went about it was probably wrong, but I just really felt the need for myself to like quit my channel that had a million subscribers, like Cold Turkey, and just start an IRL channel with pretty like little promotion for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just like, it was around the same time I also like first started actually learning about YouTube and almost like too much because doing Bed Wars and stuff, I didn't need to know too much about like how YouTube operated. But then around that time, I was like almost going down the path of like the YouTube gurus, like, oh, optimizing this and like, this is what you do. Make sure this is clear and like this. And I think that stuff is important to know for sure, but it was almost for me like too much to where it becomes like over optimized.
It was
stuff.
A bit formulaic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So That's what I carried into like my new channel. So like especially the first like two videos, I was not like looking back as like very formulaic, very like whatever. And I had the bad habit of as well is like I would have a video, say maybe like a 20 minute rough cut of it, And then, like, I would review it, cut it down a minute or two, review it, cut it down. And then, like, it went from, like, a 20, 25-minute video with, like, some still, like, a lot of personality in it to, like, a 12-minute, 10-minute, like, whatever video. Just partially because of what I was, like, learning about, like, oh, optimization, this, this, this. And partially just because I never knew when to just, like, put a video out. Because I wouldn't really set deadlines for myself. I wouldn't really – it would just – I would be like, oh, when the video is done, it'll be done. But
right.
With really any type of, like – I'm not going to sit here and call – my YouTube video is an art form, but it's a creative outlet. And with any creative outlet at all, there's the expression of like, it's never done. Even though the video is like done, basically, I would still just sit there and watch it over and over again. And then just like naturally, you know, watching a video with fresh eyes every couple of days, I'd be like, oh, well now maybe this tiny joke is a little unnecessary. And oh, maybe this like shot should be a second shorter. Mm-hmm. And I just go through like, if you're looking on the objective level of like, oh, what's actually necessary for the story to move forward, blah, 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 like, I guess. But then, again, that's where you're breaking it down way too formulaic.
Yeah,
So I fell down that hole a little too much. But towards the end of that channel, I think especially my favorite video by far on that channel is when I spent 50 hours in an airport, because that's the one I think I had the best mix of. It still, like, progressed and it had, like, you know, a story and whatever, but it was a lot more of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. Like, if I did that video again, I'd do it better, but out of those videos, I think it's definitely the one that I enjoy the most. And it shows, like, I think, of course, like, I did a video with, like, Mr. Beast and stuff, so that one is the best performing video on that channel. Yeah. But, like, for me, it was super exciting, like, and I guess, what's the word? Makes me feel good about myself.
Fulfilling. Yeah.
About, like, to see, because, like, before, I promoted my channel some, but usually I would, like, still tweet out when I post a new video on that channel. But I think the airport video, there was, like, no Mr. Beast in it. I didn't tweet about it. Basically, no promotion, no anything. And the video still, like, performed well.
Yeah.
So it made me think, I'm like, and also before posting the video, I was thinking to myself, like, oh, I really like this video.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, it really, really clicked to me. I'm like, if a video was just really good, it'll do well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, like, and that's what it breaks down to. Like I've said, like, the things I've learned about YouTube and optimization, like, yes, it's important to a degree, but at the end of the day, if it's a video that you really like and you're really passionate about, it's not to say that every good video is going to get like a million views, but with enough videos, you will grow. And
yeah.
Stuff. So, but after, you know, only 5 videos on that channel, the problem was like, I was basically doing everything myself, not editing, but even with editing, I was like a lot of time, like very, very involved with my editor, like constantly on calls with them, constantly doing this. And then when the video was like, when they sent the video to me, I would still edit the last like 20% of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing like a lot myself. Like I was setting up the flights and like planning this and all the shots and all this. And it was like expensive and it took a lot of time. And then my bar for what made like a good video was high. So I could like never think of like a good idea. Basically I was just getting in my way in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, like I just cannot, if I'm spending a couple thousand dollars for a video and I'm only uploading every like 2 or 3 months, I'm like, that just does not work out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, and during that year-ish period, that's when I lived in Greenville. And then during that time, I was in Carl's Minecraft videos and Nolan's Minecraft videos and made me realize, not one-to-one exactly what they're doing, but I'm like, oh, I always, like, guess in my head, assumed like Minecraft was just Bedwars for me and I could never change, but I'm realizing you can just do anything. Like, mm-hmm. I can just do whatever I want. So that just really made me think. I'm like, I can just make whatever I want in Minecraft, make my own videos, which is like kind of a silly conclusion to come to because like, duh, that's what Minecraft is.
But yeah.
It just took me realizing it for myself. So since then, I came back to Purple. Then I've been like coding for the most part my own stuff. And like, I don't know, it's just a lot more fun because then I can have these like cool high lift ideas, but it's Minecraft. So it's not like I need to spend as much money on it.
Right.
So That's what I'm doing right now, where I'm really trying to still, I am bad about the constantly refining a video till it's too refined. I'm getting better at that, and I'm getting better at like getting in my way all the time because that's such a recurring theme. But yeah, like I'm definitely not in the perfect range of passion and what's doing well and whatever yet, but I'm getting closer slowly and it feels good. So yeah.
Good. Well, I think that I resonate with a lot of the problems that you ran into, and we would actually, I mean, we spent a lot of time just like sitting down and talking about it and just kind of like, about the running in circles that we were kind of both doing at the time. I think, do you think that any of that came from living here?
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing for me is, like, I feel like I learned so much. Like, this has been, like, YouTube college for me. But with that, there's also this, like, insane pressure that, like, it is, like, is just, like, so prominent all the time where you're seeing all of this, like, flashy stuff and the biggest YouTuber and the biggest stuff. And if you want to run your videos by someone around you, they are being run by the people who know every single thing about YouTube that there is to know and will just tell you exactly how it is. And that's so helpful. But, like, getting used to that pressure and getting used to that standard and figuring out how it aligns with your creative vision is, like, so
– yeah.
You can kind of get trapped in that and lost in that.
For sure. Like, I – kind of what I was talking about earlier where it's, like, when you first start learning that stuff, that's just what you know. Mm-hmm. And it just comes with enough time and learning about it, then you have to learn, like, what things you take, what things you leave, and, like, taking everything with a grain of salt, knowing what applies to you and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's just a process over time because, yeah, like if I want to have a video reviewed by, say, Carl, and Carl's great. Carl's been, like, super helpful with mm-hmm. everything. Same, but at the end of the day, the way, you know, I mean, the content that he's been involved with is a little more, like, optimized than what we're looking for.
Right.
So,
right.
You also have to take what he says with a grain of salt. So, yeah, I've just been trying to learn to trust myself more and do things that are more fulfilling and make me happier. But, yeah, I mean, it's a process. It is funny how we both did a kind of similar thing of quitting our main gig and then making an IRL, like, side channel. And
Yeah. We both went through kind of the same – different versions of the same identity crises, which was nice to have around. Yeah, but it's been – I mean, like, what do you feel like you've learned from your IRL channel? Because it's like you're not really doing that anymore, but I feel like the things that I'm not doing anymore, I'm so grateful for, like, all the mistakes that I've made in the past year or two and all the trying that I've done.
For sure. And even, like – I'm not saying there's a high chance at all, but there is a chance that one day I go back to that because, like, I really did have a ton of fun doing the things I did do. Like, when I did record and edit a video and get it put together, it was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
But just to even get to that point was a lot. But, I just learned a lot about, like, what makes me happy as a creator and what, like, finding that line between what is the thing that – what is the type of video that I think is the funniest or the coolest and the whatever and what's going to do well. Because I know – I also know we view YouTube still a little differently. I think if on the spectrum of, like, for example, like Mr. Beast, where it's like full optimization, I think you're way lower on the, like, pretty much full passion with, of course, like, you're making a good video, but it's very passionate. I think I'm, like, a couple steps up from you where I still want it to be, like, a little more YouTube-y, but obviously still way lower.
Yeah.
But it's like finding that balance and everything. I think that just helped me with that a lot because it was my first time outside of the Minecraft medium, so
mm-hmm.
it's just completely different. It's like a whole different – it's like stretching different muscles of your body, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it just exercises your brain in a certain way.
Yeah, and do you think that those skills that you've learned from there have been easily applied onto your – because now you're making kind of longer form Minecraft videos. I mean, almost like movies. They're like over an hour.
Close to,
like close, like 40.
I made one video that was over an hour.
Yeah.
I think right now my goal is to have videos be around like 45-ish minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think just by nature, having a video that long gives you a lot more room to breathe, to be yourself, to whatever, and establish more of a story than just like fast progression.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely isn't like a one-to-one transition, of course, because just the way things in person are shot, the way things in person progress, the limitations of being in person compared to Minecraft, it applies some for sure. But yeah, it's not an exact one-to-one, but it was hard. Like you were saying, like of us going in circles then, like, cause there was basically a year and a half. I don't know the exact time from when I quit Purpled to when I like, I guess came back to Purpled, and like basically that whole Grayson Wood era was like great for like learning and stuff, but there was a lot of degree where like a lot of nights I'd be thinking to myself, like, I've been wasting the last year and a half of my life.
Yeah.
It's tough because
I would think the same thing. Yeah. And it's so hard when you have like the opportunity in front of
exactly.
you as well. When we're living like in like the dream that any YouTuber would absolutely kill for.
Yeah.
You know, like I, it's and then like actually being there and trying to like make that into something that seems as grand as the opportunity is like, it's so hard, and it's such a daunting task to get past.
It's hard mentally as well, because of course you want to you got to find the balance between giving yourself grace and allowing yourself to fail, of course, but also like realizing you do have a prime opportunity in front of you, and you it's because, like, you know, of course, like, if I'm especially if I go to talk to a friend about like, oh man, like I feel like I've been wasting this time, whatever, then of course, like, naturally a response is like, you know, give yourself a grace, it's okay, let yourself fail. But like, there's a degree where I can't just let myself fail for too long, because then it's like, you know, like, eventually, and like, as much as obviously mental health is super important, like, eventually you do have to like put your head down, like, get to work.
Sometimes self-care is like discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's good in moderation, but you can't just, it's also hard for us because there's no one stopping us from sitting in our bed all day, all week.
Yeah. And there's also not many people that are sharing the same problems that we have.
Yeah.
Like, when you go to a friend and they're like, oh, well, give yourself some grace, like, just upload, and like you're not, it's hard to get the advice that you're really looking for from your friends, because no one is really as like, what's the word? Like, relevant, famous, kind of, you know, friends with Mr. Beast on a first name basis with Jimmy. Yeah.
That's funny. I was in the gym the other day, and Jimmy just like walked in, like, and he's like getting a workout, and he looked over at me, and he's like, how's the channel doing? I was like, oh, it's doing good. You know, it's like, in passing. And of course, like, that's like, from what I've talked about in the last 20 minutes, you know, it's like, there's a lot going on. I'm not just going to like sit there and explain it to him. But then immediately he's like, he pulls out his phone, looks at my channel. He's like, 2 videos in 4 months. Like, in a like slightly different, I'm like, fuck, he got me, dude. He got me.
Ugh.
But like, you know,
was he subscribed?
I don't know. He was like across the room. Like, when he's like, he was over at some other machine. I was like, this machine, where it's like,
constantly. Oh, his charging station.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's plugged into the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just thought he was like making like casual conversation. Like, oh, how's the channel? Good. Because I guess that's how YouTubers talk to each other. But like, yeah, I did not expect. I didn't even know he remembered my channel name. So
yeah,
it's just funny.
That is funny. Yeah, he remembered my name the last time that I saw him. He was like, Koi, stop with the spikes.
Oh, yes. Yes, you stop with the spikes?
Yeah, because I was getting him with the spikes.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I walk into the studio and there's spikes. And
there's... Why is that so funny? Like, not elaborating on it just being spikes.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, the Mr. Beast, it's been a great learning experience, and also I think experience of like learning how to work under pressure. Like, I mean, I'm sure that I'll be in more like in spaces that are going to challenge me and surprise me and blow my mind, but nothing will ever be Mr. Beast. And I feel like I've gotten one of the craziest experiences and like learning experiences and most challenging times of my life out of the way, which is definitely a naive thing to say that I'm going to look back on in a few years and be like,
probably little did he know.
Yeah. And I'm going to probably laugh like that in a few years too.
A few, you think?
You think I laugh like that now? Tell a joke.
No.
Okay. Yeah, but it is a crazy opportunity that we both got at a young age that like learning how to deal with. I mean, it's a very important skills that we've built.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never gonna sit here and pretend that this wasn't like this opportunity isn't like amazing. Mm-hmm. And I know personally, I don't know where my future is going to hold, but as far as I'm aware, I'm at least going to, I feel like as a creator, you can only look forward maybe a year at a time.
Yeah.
So as of now, maybe a year from now, I'll at least still be here, but who knows?
What's your 5-year plan if you had to come up with one?
Oh, that's like literally impossible because 5 years ago COVID hadn't started yet. I wasn't in the Dream SMP. I think less than 100,000 subscribers. Like, I was just making my little Bed Wars video. So how am I supposed to know 5 years from now that I'm going to live in Greenville, North Carolina, Mr. Beast and everything. If I had to guess,
okay,
5 years from now, and just to be interesting, I'm going to assume that I'm not going to be in Greenville 5 years from now.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that I'm in some other city just with friends in the content space.
Texas. And
I'm either, yeah, like
I
Texas.
I felt Texas just then.
Yeah. Like it could easily be like Texas, like Dallas, Austin, something, yeah. something. I don't think I'd be an LA guy.
No, no.
But it's like something like that where I'm either still doing whatever type of content stuff I'm doing, or I mean, like I've never put it past me where there's always a chance where if I just, however many years from now, whenever it might be, just I'm like personally done with my channel, then maybe I just find work with another channel, you know, mm-hmm. like, cause it's at the point where there are a lot of channels that, you know, have like teams. And I think that'd be, I hope it would be like a fun experience for me where my skills could like show. Cause I think inherently, I think someone who built their own channel themselves is always going to have like a unique enough perspective and enough knowledge to at least not be bad at a job with another YouTuber. And then I'd learn, you know, how they operate, but yeah, maybe. Like, yeah. Who knows?
That is kind of the security that I get from, like, not going to college. I'm, like, at a certain point, like, social media profiles have become resumes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the experience that we have is kind of enough to, like, you know, get a job at, like, Duolingo or something at least, right?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
That's the real dream.
Maybe they'll make you a little anime character.
Being at Duolingo HQ, being like, I have the biggest opportunity right in front of me, and there's just so much pressure, and I don't know if I can take, like, it's like the Mr. Beast situation all over again, except yeah. It's Duolingo.
And Duolingo and your job is to, like, write, like, Russian prompts for people. I don't know.
Tweets. We need 3 tweets on my desk that use the word demure by 9 p.m.
And you have to put in the owl suit and like walk around.
Yeah. Yeah.
The main thing that I think is just so, like, is the way we've connected the most in the last couple of years is just like, it's so crazy how parallel, but still very different our lives are in the content space. Cause mm-hmm. like I said, like we quit our main thing to do our like side passion channel and whatever, but we also just view content different. Cause like I said, I definitely still more like optimization than you are, but less than other people here are. So it's just super interesting. I don't know. I think it's just always like fun to talk with you about this stuff. Cause you have a rare perspective here where you still know a lot of stuff, but you err more on the side of like the passion side versus on the side of the optimization side, which again, like, and I don't want to ever sound like I'm saying that like Carl or whoever it is like, that's bad anyway. It's just how they do their content.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah. It's just
of course it does well.
It's all still storytelling. It's all still making stuff. And so surrounding yourselves with like different perspectives and opinions can be like,
yeah. And I helpful. Like, there's always like a negative connotation where if you say something like optimization, you assume like, oh, the Mr. Beastification of YouTube, where that means it's soulless and bad. Like, I don't think Carl's videos are soulless or bad or anything. Like, he loves doing what he's doing.
Also, what is it with like people being like, retention hacks aren't like a new thing. Like they are something that have existed with it, like through like millennia of folklore, you know, like storytelling is just like a skill.
Yeah.
Like the way that you tell your stories to keep people entertained is just like, it's just a skill. I mean, obviously there are people who like abuse that and boil it down to like, it's very, very basic.
Yeah.
Like, optimization. I'm going to pop this balloon. I'm going to pop this balloon on TikTok Live.
I'm
on
live
TikTok
right live. Now. I'm going to pop this I'm balloon. Live this, I'm live. I'm going to pop world's largest balloon.
World's biggest balloon. I'm popping
3,
it right
2,
now.
3, 2, 1. I'm going to pop this balloon. I have a balloon popper right here. If you see the balloon popper, it means I'm about to pop this balloon.
It means I'm about to pop this balloon. I'm live right now. I'm going to pop the biggest world's biggest balloon.
Yeah, it's like, it's just an interesting curve because I think, I mean, same way it was with me. I think it's very natural for people when they first, like YouTubers, when they're first or aspiring YouTubers, learning about how to make good content, it is easy to fall down initially the trap of like over-optimize, whatever. And then it's just up to you to then find your way, your personal way to crawl out of that and use bits and pieces of that as it applies, but then do your own thing elsewhere.
Yeah, it's like the guardrails for, because ideas are something abstract that you need a way to like, you need kind of like a stencil to put them
underneath. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like you kind of have to have a way to rein it in,
yeah,
no like, matter what you do.
I think there's always just a degree of it where people want to use YouTube as purely just like a way to operate a business and make money. So then they look for like, oh, what's the easiest way? What's the formula for how to do this? So that's where that comes from to a degree. But yeah, I think, I mean, if you have the passion for it, it can show in any way. Like even like people always point out like, oh, Mr. Beast, like blah, 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 his content so soulless, blah, blah. Even he loves his content. It's not like he like, of course, that's like the highest level of like optimization stuff. But I mean, there's still a lot of like, I know a lot of the members of the team. There's a lot of passion and love there put into those videos. Like, yeah. Like I hear people talk about their ideas for like, oh, these are these videos we're working on. Like, oh, this is this video. I'm editing this video like this. Like they love it. They love it there. Like there's, I think people just look at Mr. Beast as a face and then they're like, oh, he just does whatever the algorithm is going to make him the most money. Like, of course he runs a massive business. He needs to pay hundreds of employees salaries. They need to make money.
Right.
But yeah, it's not, it's almost never all purely
greed.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still definitely like a lot, like sometimes you see a channel where it's like it is like complete utter slop,
yes,
but there's also a reason why, I don't know, sometimes they like they can only reach a certain level. Like you're never gonna see like a slop channel reach like 10 million subscribers, 20 million, 30 million. Well, right. Well, maybe not as often.
Prove us wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's probably is like some like kids like slop channel, but even I guess you could argue like kids content is, even though it is like slop to a degree, it's just like it's enjoyable for kids. I don't know. It depends on the content. It depends on the way it's done. But
I have a 5-year plan. I'm gonna have a kid, and
you're gonna have one yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
Can they do that now?
I thought so. Can. Yeah. You. Oh. No, I just thought about. Two of the things couldn't really make one of the things.
It was
things.
That executive order he just passed.
Yeah.
Where he said they can do that now.
Oh, we forgot. He's like, about I'll that. Take everything else away, but you know what? You guys can do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can do it now.
Yeah, so I will be doing it this year. And
oh, this year? I thought it was a 5-year plan.
Well, the 5-year plan is for the child to grow up on camera. And then to eventually pass down the channel to them. So that, like, you kind of see every
like
single
Ryan
detail.
Toy reviews and stuff.
You're going to say Ryan Trahan.
No.
Do you know that Ryan Trahan's been making videos since he was a baby?
Yeah.
People don't. That's
they don't know that.
That's a fun fact that they don't tell you about in school.
He turned one.
We're trying to get it on the curriculum,
He turned one binky into a crib in 1 week. I was like, do you see me trying
the
really hard to make that
thumbnail is really
work?
Funny.
And it was like, instead of like Ryan sitting there, it's like a baby just like in the middle of this
yeah.
screen, like binky on the left. Like
one binky there. Challenge.
Yeah.
I delivered a bottle to Mr. Beast. Well, do you have any like goals, plans for the future kind of thing? I mean, we talked about your 5-year plan.
Yeah, I mean, now it's like I said, I feel more confident than ever that I'm getting close to like that full mix of passion but also what's working and efficiency. My main goal is just to be more efficient in uploading videos, because I think that's something I've been missing for these years, is getting reps. Because even if like it's like the concept of, I forget the exact saying or the exact whatever, but it's like if you challenge two guys to make the best
fight in a big coliseum, Mr. Beast is in a tower watching.
Yeah,
that saying.
Yeah, that exact one.
Okay.
And then if you die, the spikes. Of course. Where it's like, again, I'm probably butchering this, but it's like two guys were given a year to make the best pot they could. And one guy spent a year working on this pot, but the other guy made a new pot every single day. And it's like, by the end, the guy that made the new pot every single day was the better one. Because like, I could sit there working on the same video for months trying to like, oh, let me perfect it. But
right.
In reality, if I just like chill out a little bit and just get reps out,
yeah.
I'll learn way quicker. And then a year from now, 2 years from now, I'll be way better off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
also, like, nothing on the internet exists for long enough for it to be worth it to spend so long on every... Like that's the nice thing about how fast the internet moves now, is just, like, you can just kind of throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Exactly.
And you can just kind of get your reps in and get slowly better and better. And, like, what you learn from a video, like, what you see needs changed and stuff. Like, sometimes it's best to just, like... upload it and apply that knowledge to the next video instead.
Yeah, exactly. Like the biggest barrier for myself, I think the biggest barrier for pretty much every content creator is themselves, where they think that, oh, I can't do this because other people will react this way or because this, but in reality, no, it's that's how I was. I was thinking, oh, I can't, this video has to be perfect because of this. But it's like, no, the only thing stopping it was me. And like,
mm-hmm.
you just have to get past your own barrier. And it's okay if a video isn't what you deem perfect, because getting that rep out and working on it and getting better will improve you in the long run. Like you're your biggest obstacle, and no one's going to care. Like even if I uploaded a really bad video. Like worst case, like it's just not going to like do very well. And then okay, on to the next.
No, yeah.
Also, no one's like, going to hold that against me.
That was one of the most freeing things ever. If I was like, if I'm posting bad content, no one's going to see it.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Why does it matter? Because no one's even going to see it.
And that's why I'm also, I'm thankful that like, I guess I'm definitely far removed from like stan culture for the most part. I was very intentional doing that in the year, like the wake of the Dream SB ending. So it's like, I don't have to worry about them being like, again, not that it would matter as much, but it's impossible not to care. I don't have to worry about there being like a swarm of people like that are watching my every move just to watch my every move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like then you, even like whether it's for good or bad, like haters or whatever, like stand, it's just like the fact that I just want to be able to kind of do what I can without too much of a public eye on me.
Yeah.
I'm just still working on it. Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I have to remind myself that I'm only 21 and I have this many years of experience, but I don't know. I have so many opportunities and like, I just got to like get off my ass and go and get out of my own head. So
you should go to school.
Yeah. That's probably the best idea.
Yeah.
Maybe like a community college nearby.
Yeah. I think that'd be good for you.
Yeah, probably would.
Do you have something to bring to show and tell?
Yeah, I do. To be fair, you saw it when you walked in because it's kind of big.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm just like a big roller coaster nerd. When I was a kid, I had these little Kinex things.
Wait, can we go to Cedar Point together? Have you been there?
I've already been.
But I would go again.
Yeah,
I've been before as well.
Yeah, I also haven't been in like 5 years.
Okay, we should go to Cedar Point.
Yes. Anyways, so I just love roller coasters. You're going to need to hold my mic for a second.
Okay.
I just build my own little custom. How are you going to show this? Are you going to get like B-roll of this afterwards maybe?
Yeah.
But anyways, you can see, like they have roller coaster sets for Kinex, but I just like it a lot better when I make my own thing. Like you can see like these supports are like, I guess, quote, realistic. Like I like making them look like a real ride, you know? And this is what I'm working on. I'm hours deep. There are people way better than me at this that can make stuff a lot quicker, but it's fun to learn.
But
the little intricacies.
Those people are probably working on one roller coaster for the rest of your life.
And I'm going to do one every day.
One new roller coaster every single day.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't the best. It's just a lift hill right now. It's literally like you can see the top.
It's already beyond my comprehension.
Yeah. It's a lot going on.
Incredible.
I spent so much time trying to figure out how I want these supports to connect to each other and like support themselves.
Wait,
well,
for audio listeners, we're not looking at a real roller coaster.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. It's like a toy. It's like similar to Lego, but instead of bricks, it's like beams.
They called again?
These are called Kinex.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Spelled like Kinex or something.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like it. I've just been a big. I've always been a big roller coaster nerd, and then also I just like building things and problem solving and whatever. So this has been fun.
Wow.
But it's gonna be. I don't know if I'll even ever finish it because it's a lot. It's a long process.
Well, not with that attitude.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
But, okay, my turn. Oh, no, that's okay. That's incredible.
Nope. You don't care about my roller coaster.
Well,
is this still in the camera?
Yeah, it is, but okay. It's okay.
I sit like right.
My thing is, I have this, it's from season 2 of MCC. I won the Minecraft championship. It's this big, like kind of a Steam championship where, you get this coin only if you're a winner.
Wait.
So, oh.
Wait, where'd mine go over here?
Huh? Did you win?
I have my season 2 coin that's right over there on my
You
shelf.
Won in season 2 also? That can't be right, because I have...
Well, because mine is missing over there.
You had a...
Is that mine? Did you take that from me?
I couldn't have done that, because I don't...
Mine's not... It's usually over there.
We should maybe just move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I have it back?
If you can find your coin, you can absolutely have it back. This one's mine though, so I'm sorry.
Oh.
Do you have a song recommendation?
Oh.
Wait, I need to pull up my phone and get.
Yeah, let me hold on. Let me look at my phone.
We can cut for this one.
I'll go with the song "Is It True" by Tame Impala. I like that song.
That's one of my recently liked songs.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Oh wait. No, actually, it's Tomorrow's Dust.
Yeah.
I was actually lying, there.
I know.
It was my first time lying this episode. I'll go with... No. Hold on.
I remember you sent me the silly one time.
Wait, what silly one?
Bimba's Nimbus.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, yeah.
Can we do Bimbus
Nimbus? I'll do, yeah. Bimbus Nimbus by Victor Fuertes.
It's always so funny whenever I'm like shuffling my like songs and then that one comes on. Yeah. I'm like, okay, let's change of pace.
Yeah, that one's a funny, silly one. Okay, anything you want to promote, say?
No, I mean, I'm just going to keep doing my thing on my Purple channel, so I guess there's that, but, you know, it's Minecraft content, so it depends on that's your... hold on. It depends on if that's your thing or not. Don't laugh.
So, I thought of something funny.
Okay, that's what... Okay, good. no, other than that, yeah, I'm just living my life, so...
Well... Thanks for being here. Thanks for having me on your couch.
Yeah, thanks. Is it a good couch?
Yeah.
Where's it rate on the couches you've
slept on? This is probably like a 6 of 10. It wasn't the most comfortable, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm looking like, I don't, because to be fair, I don't order my couch based on how comforting it is to sleep on.
Also,
I think my mom just got this couch for me for our old house, and then I think we just moved it here, so I don't even know if it like fits or
anything. No, I did have to like uncrunch my back this morning, but it wasn't a big deal.
Okay, cool. Well,
I'm getting used to that by now. It's not the worst couch I've slept on.
Okay, good. Who's the worst?
Definitely the last episode, Max Zavadel, because it was two chairs pressed together, and so the chairs were slowly like separating apart, okay. And then I just slowly kind of sink to the ground. And then wake up in the morning and have to push them back together and curl up into my little ball.
Okay. Yep. Well, at least not the worst. Yeah, I don't think this would be the best, but it's okay.
Well, bye.
Bye, guys. You're now watching Couch Surfing with Koi, where we're going to be surfing on the couch with Koi now. Right now, live, we're surfing on the couch with Koi. On the couch live right now. We're going to sleep on this couch and surf on it right now on Couch Surfing with Koi.
Okay, I'm turning this off.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, thanks so much for watching the episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you want extra content, behind the scenes, extra travel vlogs, I also have a bunch of solo podcast episodes all over on my Patreon, patreon.com/KoiPiso. It really helps support this show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And I'll see you next week on a different couch.